The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Christ.
When evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There's a beautiful line in the psalm that we said together. "And he brought them to the harbor they were bound for." And he brought them to the harbor they were bound for. I don't know if you caught it in our readings for today. I mean, if reading out of Job brings you comfort, I don't know. This is a stormy text. It's one of those stormy stories in the Hebrew scriptures. And if you caught it, there are storms throughout our readings. And I think this is what I love about the scriptures. The scriptures never shy away from the storms in life. In fact, the scriptures seek to resource us so that we can get to that harbor that God is leading us to. Now, I get it. When you're in the middle of the storm, I think we act more like the disciples. I don't know about you, but it's certainly not the case with me. The storm has a way of striking terror and blinding me to what is around me. I think that's what unexpected situations can do to us, especially when they impact us in a very deep and personal way. It is evening, because that's what most storms feel like. It's dark. And Jesus tells the disciples, "Let's go to the other side." On their way, they hit a storm. Well, it's great wind, is what the text says. This blowing wind, this ruah, this wind that is causing the waves to rise and fall, and it says that the boat was swamped. We're talking fishermen, some of them. The tax collectors were probably wondering, what do we do in a situation like this? But you'd figure that fishermen were probably at the oars working really hard to get through the storm. There are storms sometimes in life where our competence and our capacity to do sometimes just does not meet the moment. Have you ever been there? Something, you come to a friend who's going through a storm and you get into the boat and you realize, I have nothing to say, or words fall flat, or words reach their limit for this situation. And all we can do is put our arm around somebody and be present. The disciples are probably trying to find a way to make it through a storm, this storm, because they're skilled seamen. But sometimes skill, even our skills, are not enough for the storms we face. Sometimes the very competencies that we have are called into question. And so what did the disciples do? They go to Jesus, who's asleep. It was probably rocking them really well, right? Like, "Ooh, I like this rocking. This is allowing me to sleep a little deeper." And he was on the cushion, the stern. I mean, There's a sense in which in the midst of the storm, there is this calm. Jesus is with them in the boat. I think that's key for us to remember, because I think that is what Job hears from God in the first passage. God basically reminds Job, who's gone and has lost everything and has every reason to be upset. And by the end of the story of Job, you get Job who is struggling with, I think, what most of us struggle with in moments of thunderstorms or storms in life. The sense of, okay, are you being fair with me, God? What is going on? Why, God? And God reminds Job, and you know, sometimes it's easy to read this as God slapping Job's hand, but I think this is God in conversation with Job, not shutting him out, but in conversation, because this is the God that we serve. Not the God who says, oh, really, you have a question about my sovereignty and power? You have a question about my saving grace? You have a question? You're questioning me? Now, this is the God who asks questions because conversation is important to God. Job, where were you? Did you see this? Were you there? And I think for us today, I think it's important to add something to this in light of Christ, because I think the Word of God comes to us in the same way that it came to Job, but with this added part. Job, do you know that I sent Jesus? That I would come down as love to be with you. That I am the God who gets in the boat with you. In fact, I am the one who is asking you to make this journey and to trust me in the middle of it. And that's hard. It's always been hard for me because I like being in control. Now, that may be like a red flag for everyone. Oh, did you hear him? The new rector likes being in control. Of the things immediately around me, family, those whom I love, situations and what I can handle, yes. I love knowing what to do. I love drawing on my expertise. I love ensuring that I can calculate. I mean, what the disciples needed was the Doppler 7, you know, the Doppler that allows them to see when the storm is coming, to control the situation, because I think that's our default mode, right? We want to have a clue on how to handle this. If we can forecast this, we're good. But these moments in the boat, when the storm kicks up, I think they're moments that nothing in life can prepare us for. It's a call for that deeper trust to recognize Jesus is with us in the midst of the storm. Jesus calms the storm. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been through a real downpour, sometimes the downpour really helps get rid of all of the pollen, right? Gets rid of the pollen in the trees. Sometimes the storm actually does something that can help us maybe even get some sense of clarity of where we are. Oh, wow, the patio looks really nice with all that stuff gone. Because sometimes the storm is this negative force, and we view it as a negative force. Sometimes we never look at it and say, what is happening here? How am I getting clarity about what is important in the midst of this storm? Is it really about keeping up with everyone else? When you sit across someone holding their hand in a hospital bed, tell me, is it really about how much money there is in the bank? Or what prestige you may have gained in life? Or where you vacation and what you do? Is it really about that? It's about the moment, that sacred moment of the precarity and the fragility, but also the presence of Jesus that meets us there and gives us the strength to draw on that clarity to not just go back the same, but with new skill, with new vision, quite possibly with more compassion, certainly a deeper sense of love. I love you and I would miss life without you. I love you, and maybe I have forgotten to be present in a way that lets you know that I love you dearly. I am so sorry that I have been so distracted by everything around me. This storm has cleared the air, and I can see now that I need to be present with the love of Jesus right here, right now. Where is God bringing clarity in your life through the present storms or the storms you faced? You know, one of the greatest desires, I think, for a lot of folks, certainly the market, is why can't we get back to the pre-COVID years, right? Let's get everything back to that normal. But the reality is none of us are going to get back to that normal. If you suffered from COVID, if you have a loved one, you lost a loved one to COVID, you're never going to be the same. Now, the question is, do we learn from this? What skills do we learn from with the storms that kick up in life? Where do we go after the storm when we arrive at the harbor? I'm not saying don't look at the hardship in the middle of the storm square in the eye. I'm not saying let's be Pollyanna about it and forget that this is tough. Just saying there's something there that Jesus wants his disciples to learn about his presence. Yes, I am the one who turned water into wine. I am the one who healed the leper. I am the one who healed the blind man. And I am the one who is expanding your heart so that you can see me in all areas of life. Not just the mountaintop, but also in the deep valley. When your heart melts. And when your wits end, and you can see clearly, like the disciples, whoa, who is this? That even the sea and the wind obey him. When was the last time you discovered Jesus in a new way? Jesus seeks to open our lives to his surprising, ever-loving, life-giving presence. Open your heart. Open your eyes. Recognize that whatever boat you're in today, Jesus is calling us to trust, to grow, to let go in order to learn anew what it means to get in the boat with Jesus. In this life. Again, I don't know what your boat looks like today, but I can say this, that from the first reading through the psalm, even our second reading, which reminds us of that glorious love Jesus has for us, and the gospel lesson, all of it is reminding us once again that the storms in life pass, but the love of Jesus meets us in the middle and gets us to the harbor. I pray you can draw strength from this wonderful story in the gospel. I pray you can draw clarity from it. And I hope you discover the Jesus who refuses to let go of you. The Jesus who is like the sun, though the clouds may gather and get dark and the storm may rage, Jesus is like the sun that is above the clouds and still keeps shining, still is present, does not deterred or turned away, though it may be dark for a season, right above the clouds, this light continues. Continues into our hearts, continues to give us strength today, strength for tomorrow. Because remember, it's Jesus who said, let's go to the other side. Let's go. Let's go to where you will be stretched and grow. Let's go to the other side. Because this mission, not only includes the other side, but this mission also includes getting to the other side for the sake of the other boats around us. I think that this is such an important piece that to be the church, the people of God, that trust the God who gets into the boat, is to also ensure that the calm, that all those other small boats around us, family, friends, our nation, our leaders, all those other boats can experience the presence of Jesus through the love and trust that we place in the one who promised never to leave nor forsake. And there were other boats. Who are the other boats in your life? May we learn, love, and trust this Jesus, not only for our own sake, but for the sake of the other boats, and for the sake of the mission that Jesus has called us, here and now, with our family and friends, with our neighbors, as citizens of this great country, as people who love this country, and who are called to be that presence of Jesus in the midst of the storm, and to point to the one who always gets us to safe harbor. Amen.